What an introduction. All right. Everybody survived the turkey coma, except for those that aren't here today. Hopefully they're having safety and travel wherever they're at. There's a lot of illness going on right now, so you can be in prayer for our fellow brothers and sisters. I know of many that are ill today and can't be with us. I know a bunch more that are on the road traveling to see friends and family for the holidays, so keep them in prayer as they travel, as they recover. Whew. You guys are quiet. You ready for the Word of God? Yeah, all right. Nana is. Good, good. God's so good. Did any of you spend any time being thankful last week? All right, three of you, wonderful. We'll work on 100% for next year. Hopefully you spend more than just the week of Thanksgiving thinking about things that you're thankful for. Hopefully you're constantly thanking God for all that he's done and given into your life, because he is constantly giving goodness, good gifts into our lives day by day by day. Every day we get to wake up and take another breath. As a breath given by God himself. That's something to be thankful for. Every day we get to wake up and say, my friends and family are with me today. It's another day we get to be thankful for. I want to talk today about reflections. Do you enjoy reflections? Do you enjoy looking in the mirror? Yeah. When I think of reflection, I think of a pristine high mountain lake with a gorgeous landscape mountain in the background. And as you look at it, it's reflected onto the water in a perfect mirror image, and the snow caps on top. And you got maybe some goats in the cliffs that are reflecting onto the water, and alpine firs reflecting out into the water. And to me, that is just, you can't capture it in a photo very well. Not like you can when you're there in person seeing it. But it's gorgeous and beautiful. A lot prettier than that. But that's, you know, what the internet has to offer for backgrounds. But I love reflections, especially how perfect they are. Do you know that we as believers in Christ Jesus are supposed to be a reflection of who Christ is? We're supposed to be Christ's reflection to the world around us. How accurately and beautifully do you portray the reflection of Christ's love? The reflection of Christ's character, the reflection of Christ's forgiveness, the reflection of Christ's mercy. And we could go on and on for all the attributes of who Christ is and all that he is to us. But how well are we reflecting that to those around us? So as we go through the message this morning, think about that. How well are you reflecting? What are some areas I need to work on? It's like, it's really good until you get to the alpine firs, and then it's pretty messy. Or it's really good until you get to my patients, and then it's really messy. It's really good until you get to treat other people with love, and then it's really messy. Or what is it for you that you're not reflecting well of the character and person of Jesus Christ, who he is? Can we talk to God for a moment? I'd like to open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we could gather here. God, as your sons and daughters, God, your servants, God, to hear of your word, God, to look into our lives, God, and see how well we are representing you to the world around us, God. And God, I ask you to open our hearts and minds, God, to be receptive to the Holy Spirit and his speaking to us. God, of areas of our lives, God, that we need to work on, that we need to repair, that we need to fix and mend. God, to be holy like you, as you've called us to be. God, that we would be a perfect reflection of who your son is to us, to those around us. Father, we thank you for that. God, we ask for your grace. God, for your mercy. God, use my voice and my thoughts, God, to bring you glory and honor as I deliver your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think a lot. I know a lot of you look at me and go, what is he even thinking about? And there's a lot going on up there. It's a maze. It just looks like I'm not thinking about anything, Irene. So over the past 10 days, I've lost 3 people in my life. So it's had me thinking a lot. Every time I lose someone, I think about my life and reprioritize. I'm like, what am I doing well? What am I not doing well? What are my priorities? And what do I need to readjust? What do I need to assess in my life? What's going on? One of these men is a spiritual leader in my life, probably one of the best speakers, communicators of God's word that I've ever listened to. Like, I don't take notes. And every time I go to his conferences or sit in a meeting with him, I take pages and pages of notes. And I'm like, I mean, even my sermon notes are like 6 or 7 lines usually. But when he speaks, he spoke so eloquently, and he had it all boiled down to these little nutshell dynamic phrases. I was like, oh, I was so good. I gotta write it down. And I was thinking about my relationship and interaction with him, and I don't think I've ever given anything to him. He's always been a mentor and leader in my life and always been somebody I've gleaned from and received from and watched. Got to watch him walk out his life as he served God, and got to watch him as, you know, attacks were upon his life and his family, and he went through some horrible things, and watch him walk through those moments with integrity and just still come out the other side. And even had his house set on fire with him and his family inside of it because he preaches the name of Jesus. I mean, went through horrific stuff, and he still walks out the other side saying, God is good. God's amazing. And regardless of what happens to me on earth, I'm going to serve him. And for me, I would look at him and say, you know, he's 20 or 30 years from where he should die. It was sudden. It wasn't expected. So it makes me think about that. How many days do I have left? I don't know. God knows. The second gentleman is a younger man, about my age, I think a year older than I. Someone who 15, 20 years ago in a life group, sitting in somebody's living room, the leader of that life group said, I want you to pick 3 people in your life that you and the world would say there is no hope, they will never meet Jesus. And I want you to make a commitment to God to begin praying for them and interceding for them and their salvation until it happens. Which might be who knows when. One of those 3 people I picked that day passed away a few days ago. I didn't know when I heard that he had passed if he had accepted Christ or not. And I'm like, so God and I, when I went on my walk this week, God and I had a talk. Well, look, I've been praying for this guy for over a decade. Like, I felt that you asked me to pray and intercede over his life. And if you looked at the life he lived, it was not good. He had some struggles, some real struggles, some battles in his life. Very rough life. But talking to his brother says, yeah, he accepted Christ. Woo! That's exciting! And the third person was an individual from our body here at the Life Center. A man that I watched as I was a small child growing up in the church. He did lead some Bible studies here. He taught some classes here from time to time. But mostly, he was a man of action. Just a man that was and did Jesus every day and represented Jesus well every day and lived for the King of Kings every day. And I got to watch him with his family, with community members over the years throughout the community and the church, just faithfully, steadily serve God over and over. And as I reflected on those 3 situations, it's like, man, what did I give? What did I take? Who was a reflection of Christ? Who wasn't? And none of that's mine to judge holistically. But it makes me think, Was it worth it? Yes. How long did I have to endure praying and seeking? Until the end. And I didn't know until the end. As you reflect on your life and look at people you're interacting with, what are you doing it for? The first man I went to because he was much wiser and smarter than me. I went to glean from him so I could sharpen my skills as a pastor, as a leader, as a speaker. The second man was just a kid I grew up with, went to school with, lived life with, prayed and interceded for. Someone I had something to give. Last time I saw him was down here at Loving Hands in the parking lot, probably 5-6 years ago. He thanked me for always being kind to him, for always being a friendly face. And he was trying to get his life back on track at that point and wanted to come talk to me about it. And the third gentleman, I got to watch his interaction, his character. I remember this one story he told me. He used to work at the fish hatchery down at Orfino. And he was working with some young guys. And like, man, why do you make us work so hard? And they were trying to cut corners. And he's like, no, we're going to do it right. They were cleaning the fish traps that the fish come into and trying to get them all clean, ready for the next batch of little fish. And like, man, why do you always just make us do that? And he goes, well, everything we do should be as unto the Lord, and we should do it to the best of our ability, even if we're cleaning the scum out of the fish traps. And that just always stuck with me. If that's a reflection of how he lived his life every day. As a young man watching that, men, women, there are young men and women watching you. They don't just hear what you say you are. They watch and see if your actions follow your words. What reflection are you giving to those around you? Because they don't just hear you, they also see you. And your actions will speak much louder than your words. The question isn't, will we die? It's, did we die fulfilling God's will? We will all die. It's not about when we die. It's when I die, did I fulfill what God called me to do? I hope the answer is yes at the end. I think you can even make it to heaven without fulfilling God's will for your life. Because God's gracious and good. But he has some people he wants us to take along with us to eternity. But we need to reflect his glory, his presence, his love, his goodness to those around us so that they can see his goodness working in us. Because they look at me and go, Arby's not that good. There's something else going on there. I want whatever he's got because it looks good. As I think about reflections, I think about mirrors. Have you ever just went out of your house without looking in a mirror? And you got downtown, everybody's looking at you like, you're like, what? And you go home and look, and your hair's like, pff. Or you still got something on your face from the night before, pizza sauce. Pff. Anybody? Am I the only one that's ever done that? I mean, I don't do it often, but. You ever show up to open gym in your wife's yoga pants? I mean, okay, thank God I have not seen that happen yet, at least at my open gym. But generally, we check ourselves in the mirror, right? Why? Do you not trust that you look good? You want to check in and find out, right? It's the same way in our spiritual life. We don't gauge ourselves and say, I'm doing great and amazing, I'm wonderful, and become proud about ourselves. But we have some trusted people around us that we check in with. Hey, what are my blind spots? Hey, where am I not doing well? What do I need to work on? What do you see in me that is not Christ-like or representing him well? And we need to have trusted people around us that we can speak with and engage with And know that even when they cut us, it's for our benefit. When they call out something that's in our lives that shouldn't be, we trust them enough to not get offended, to not walk away angry and bitter, but we take it to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, is this true inside of me? Is this really what's going on? I was guiding this hunt once. It's probably the most fantastic archery elk hunt I've ever guided. There were bulls bugling all over the woods. My hunter ended up shooting arrows at 5 different elk. Didn't kill any of them, unfortunately. That part was horrible. It was a fantastic trip. I've been doing this almost 25 years, and it's still like the highlight trip of my career. But at the end of his hunt, he leaves this 0.5 star review. Not 5 star, 0.5 star. And I'm like, of course, we get reviewed every time we take a client out. And I'm like, I want to know why. What happened? You ready for it? I'm a horrible hunting guide. Well, that's not what he said. He said, there are bees in the woods. And Arby did not go out before our hunt and clear them. And if he's going to take people into the woods, he should go ahead and clear all the bees. And it was also the worst bee year on record. We probably hit 30 hives that week. It was horrible. But I could take that as a reflection of who I am and take it personal and get offended. Say, oh man, I ruined his hunt. But that's not accurate. Sometimes we get the wrong people around us to be our reflecting board of how am I doing? And then we believe a 0.5 star review and apply it to ourselves, and we start acting out of that place of hurt and wound and bitterness and anger and resentment maybe, and maybe just inadequacy. Whatever, put your word in there. What causes you not to act Christ-like in your life? Your fear? Your anger, betrayal, abuse. If we don't have the right reflecting board, we're going to get a bad image. Make sure those around you you're reflecting yourself against are trustworthy. Don't get counsel from just anyone. Right here's the best tool. We're going to look at some verses this morning from the Word of God to see what we should be reflecting as or what we should be looking like. In James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. It's a lot easier to get a perfect reflection when things aren't changing constantly. When the wind's not blowing across the lake, creating ripples, you get a much clearer mirror image. When the fish aren't jumping in the lake, you get a much clearer image. When the kids aren't throwing rocks in the lake, you get a much clearer mirror image. Every good and perfect gift is from above. There's one of my gifts right there. Everybody say hi, Selway. Do you know your kids are gifts from God? They're not a burden. They're not a chore. They're not an inconvenience. They're a gift from above that God has entrusted you as a parent to steward and raise according to his word, his commands, his laws, his precepts. Do you reflect a life that says every good and perfect gift is from above? Does your life reflect that? Oh, these kids, I can't wait to get rid of them. Will they just turn 18 already and leave? Then I'll be done parenting? Is that how that works? Right? You're done at 18, right? Like, I only have one over 18, so I'm still new at that part, but No, it never ends until Jesus says, come home to heaven. You're a parent for life. If you don't have kids of your own, you should be spiritually parenting kids around you. Because we live in a fallen world full of darkness, and somebody's got to shine the light of Jesus Christ and reflect goodness and love and compassion and mercy to those who are broken and wounded, those who are abused and betrayed and beaten down. That's our job, to reflect Christ to them. Psalms 136, verse 1. Psalms 136, 1. This whole chapter is awesome. We're just going to look at verse 1, although. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Do you give thanks to the Lord because he's good? Or do you give thanks because your situation and circumstance is good? It doesn't say give thanks because everything's going great in your life. It says, give thanks because he is good. His love endures forever. No matter what you're going through, his love endures through it and is with you in it. He does not abandon you. He does not leave you. But what we're supposed to be doing is giving thanks in the process because of who he is, not what he does. Does your life reflect a life of thanksgiving? Psalms 118:24. I'm going to read it out of the NIV and then from the New King James Version, because I like that one better. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. And the New King James Version, is it there? All right. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Do you treat every day as the day that the Lord has made? Or do you scorn the day that you have to wake up at 5 a.m. on Monday and go to work? Or 3 a.m. and go to work? Or whatever time it is. Do you treat every day as though the Lord has made it and given it to you as a gift? Because that's what we're supposed to do, and rejoice and be glad in it. Have you ever got accused of being drunk at 6 in the morning? Some of you shouldn't answer that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a morning person. So I'm like, I usually get up and I'm like, I'm a little much for a lot of people in the morning. But many times in my occupation, of course it's 4 or 5 or 6 a.m. and you're up early and saddling horses and feeding dogs and doing whatever guiding entails, and people look at you and go, are you drunk? How can you be this happy this early in the morning? The joy of the Lord should be coming through us enough that people see it as evident in our lives and wonder, how can you be this happy? I've been accused of being drunk dozens and dozens of times, though I had not drunk anything but the Spirit of God. That should be the joy of the Lord, his goodness and gladness overflowing in our lives to those around us. This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Just the zest of life. Just because God is good and he's given me one more day to breathe and function and be. That should bring us joy. And I'm grumpy sometimes too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not always happy. Sometimes Kathleen has to tell me to take a hike. You need to go spend some time with God, because I don't have patience for you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Another way we should be reflecting Christ. Colossians 3, 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you're doing, whether it's in word or deed, let it reflect the goodness of God and give thanks to him. We should be a reflection of God's goodness. How do people receive you when you're in their presence? Are you a gift to them? Or are you a hindrance and a burden? And do people say, oh my goodness, I can't wait until Arby leaves? Or do they say, man, I can't wait to be around him again or her again? What do people say when they're in your presence? Because our words and our deeds should be reflecting the goodness of God to those around us, that we would attract them to him as their Lord and Savior. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Man, I just wish I knew the will of God for me. Well, how about start here? Until you master that one, you don't need to move any further. Give thanks in all circumstances. One of the pastors of this church that I grew up under was awesome at this. He's with Jesus now. Hopefully looking down on us. Maybe not. I don't know if you can see earth from heaven. Anyway, he was just great at this. And he lived in Nez Perce there late in life. And they came down to Clonger's and they were in town. And he was getting ready to head back up the hill and came out and the car wouldn't start. And it's like pouring buckets of rain. It's cold, sleet, snow. It wasn't a pleasant evening. And most of us would get grumpy, right? Gotta call a tow truck or a ride or something, somebody to come help you out. He looked at his wife across the car and said, isn't this great? We get to spend more time together waiting for, I forget what help they had come or drive them or whatever happened. But isn't this great? How many of us say that when we break down? You don't have to raise your hand to be honest. Say it in your heart. Most of us wouldn't like look at it like that. But that's what it means. Give thanks in all circumstances. Whatever goes on, whatever happens, give thanks. Thank God, I don't know why this is happening. I mean, it looks like a train wreck to me. But thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your love, for your compassion. The rest of that passage is good too. You should read it and know it and hide it in your heart. So as we enter into the Christmas season, I do a lot of reflecting all year long, but as a body, I like to do it leading up to Christmas for the Advent season. What are we focusing on? What are we thinking on? Take a little more time each and every day of, God, what is this all about? Your baby came to earth. I mean, if you think about it, that probably wasn't Jesus' first choice to come as a baby. You know, he could have came as a knight in shining armor on this valiant horse, could have rode into battle and cleansed the earth of all the evil, and we could have lived happily ever after. I mean, God could have done anything, right? But he came as an infant, a baby to be born, raised as a child, grown into a man, to show us what was possible, to show us what was available. There's a passage in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, where the prophet Isaiah, several hundred years before Jesus came to earth as a baby. Oops, Isaiah's the other way. The other Isaiah, that way. I'm not the only one that does that, right? There's 66 books in here. It's a lot to keep organized. I'm just glad they don't move around. Wouldn't that be fun? Every time you open your Bible, it's in a different place. Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3, the prophet Isaiah speaking, foretelling the Christ to come and what it's going to be like. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Several hundred years later. Of course, we read that and we think, wow, this is going to be amazing, right? When Jesus shows up, it's going to be awesome and amazing. And then we get this baby in a manger, born in a stable. Sometimes reflections don't look like we expected them to look. I looked in the mirror the other day and I was like, man, why'd Kathleen hang this picture of this old guy in our bathroom? And then he was doing everything I was doing. You guys ever have that happen? Who hung this picture in here? Oh, wait, that's me. I don't feel that old. I feel like I'm starting to look old. There's like some shiny hairs mixed in with the darker ones. There's wrinkles that I don't think used to be there. You know, I have allergies. My face kind of swells up and I look really terrible. Get dark circles around my eyes. But Isaiah's painting a reflection of what's to come. Sometimes things don't look quite like we think they should. But eventually Jesus does grow into this man. And he becomes, of course, full grown in Luke chapter 4. Jesus enters the temple and unrolls the scroll and reads this passage from Isaiah. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Finally, the reflection comes to full view. Oh, this is what Isaiah was saying. This is the man, Jesus, Savior of the world, Son of God. Sometimes it takes a while for the reflection to develop. We don't start as a perfect reflection of who Jesus Christ is. Not at all. But it starts with a yes, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Yes, I've done wrong and I need to repent. No, I cannot do it on my own. Lord Jesus, will you forgive me of my sins, my trespasses? Lord Jesus, will you come into my life and be my Lord and Savior? And that's a starting point. That's like on the map that says you are here. That's just a starting point. And now we have the whole journey to begin walking out, looking like Jesus, reflecting who Jesus is. From the time Isaiah spoke till Jesus said this was hundreds of years. For the reflection to come into perfect position. You and I have to work at it every day. So as we go into Advent season, think about these four things that Jesus came to bring to this earth: hope, joy, peace, and love. How well am I reflecting those four things that Christ brought to the earth through his birth, through his death and resurrection? Hope, joy, peace, and love. Think about that each and every day. How can I improve? How can I better show hope, joy, peace, and love to those around me? Ask people around you, how am I doing in this arena? It can be scary. If you ask people that will be honest with you, hopefully they'll tell you the truth. Arby, you are not peaceful at all. Like every time you come, I'm just like, ugh, will you just leave? Do you give people hope? That's never going to work. Why would you try that? Don't go that way. That's a terrible idea. Or do you say, oh yeah, we can make it happen. All things are possible with Christ who strengthens me. Are you bringing hope, joy, peace, and love? That's your homework. Your meditation on God's word of hope, joy, peace, and love as we engage in the Advent season. That's what Christ came to bring us. That's what we should be bringing and offering to the world around us. So what is God's will for you? To give thanks while you're bringing hope, joy, peace, and love. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for your word that steers us true. God, as the compass for our lives, God, that can lead us back to your path of righteousness. God, your path of goodness. God, your path of mercy. God, of love and of joy. And God, I ask that you would just quicken in our spirits, Lord God, as we go through our week. God, the areas that we are not bringing hope, peace, love, and joy. And God, that you would just, God, begin to cultivate in us a heart, God, that is tender towards you. God, that we would yield our time to you. God, that we would yield our thoughts to you. God, that we would yield our actions and words unto you. God, that we would be a more perfect, God, reflection of your Son, Jesus Christ, to the world around us. God, that we would be a people, God, that bring your hope, your peace, your joy, and your love. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Inside your folder, you should have a Connect card. Looks about this big. Should look just like this. And if you wouldn't mind filling that out for us, we'd pick that up in a few minutes when we receive our morning